You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
All these books that we've been studying with Book of Colossae, they had doctrinal error there, and it was Gnosticism. We saw that. Merging of the false gods and deities and statues with the triune God, God Jehovah, and they would merge those together. Apostle Paul dealt with it very strong. And now tonight we find that this church, they began to merge legalism and the law, and you had to maintain the law in order to continue in your salvation. Paul won them to Christ. We're going to see just by way of introduction tonight how they loved him at one time. They thought he was like an angel God sent to them. They said that we're pluck our eyes out for you. We love you so much. Paul said, have I become your enemy? Did I tell you the truth? You know, as you read these epistles, these letters to these churches, the preachers were always fighting. Peter was fighting doctrinal error, and Paul was fighting doctrinal error. Paul said this in the book of Acts, after my departure shall grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves. Men shall arise, speaking perverse things. The corruption is in the church. Everything always corrupts. And that's why God gives you a pastor or a parent or somebody to resist and to resist the wrong. So many of my dear preacher friends, they're all with the Lord. They'd be 100, 105, 110, 120. The men that were very close in my life and guided my life so very much. But another preacher said this to me. He said, you know, when we lost those men, we lost the restrainers. Those men stood up against the wickedness and kept church preaching and singing and fellowship and invitation and tears and heart and choirs and music and godly living. That was an issue with them and strengthened the home. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you are, you're not going to make it with your home without God. In a Christian life, we're not going to make it. In Galatia, they came to the point, we're going to look at the first five verses briefly tonight. They came to the point that they just said, no, Paul, we don't like what you have for us. They began to merge together. By the way, turn with me, if you will, chapter 3. And here's what he said about merging the law. Verse number 16, I remember they made us memorize this in the Bible college. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the what? The law, chapter 2, 16. Knowing that a man is not justified, declared righteous by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, declared righteous by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now are made perfect by the flesh? Go, if you will, to chapter number 3 as we introduce the book. Verse 13, 3:13. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Christ hath redeemed us. You see, we do not keep commandments. There's over 600. Brother Curtis and I were talking about this tonight. 613 commandments. Now, you can govern a nation by 10. But then God had to, for the sake of men, keep embellishing so that they understood they were violating God's rules, God's laws toward mankind. And so God continued to give us more. Brother Curtis was telling me, and he's studying that right now. There's 613 seeds, did you say, in a pomegranate? And there's 613 commandments in the Word of God. It's sort of like, if you remember the day, and I'm off the subject now, we were talking how that the candlestick that Brother Burcham years ago taught us on a Wednesday night, that there are 39 knobs on the one side and 27 on the other side. But isn't it amazing? There are 27 books in the New Testament, 39 in the Old Testament. God knows everything. God knows the end from the beginning. He's Alpha and Omega. And notice what the Bible says in chapter number 4, and I'm get back to where I'm going, but I can't pass this up. Paul said, verse 11, let's read it together, 4:11, powerful verse, ready, begin. I am afraid of you. Verse 13, ye know that through the infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, my trial was in my flesh. Ye despised not. You didn't look down on me. We believe it was Paul had this runny eye syndrome and his eyes had difficulty. He said, you weren't embarrassed with me. You did not. You received me as an angel of God, even Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness that ye spake of? Pride bear you record that if had it been possible, you would have plucked your own eyes out and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When a preacher stands up and is trying to resist sin, don't go online and blast the preacher. If a man of God's trying to give you the word of God, let the God, that's why we don't come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night without asking God, speak to my heart. Use the word of God. Use the songs of God. Use the choir. Use it all. Use the preaching, the teaching. Use Sunday school to cause me to become more like Christ. So we get to chapter 1, and we're looking at this country that was established by the Gauls. And as they approached it, this was 20,000 people merged back into this area. And they were very fierce, wicked, cruel people so many centuries ago. And they came to destroy people and to slaughter people and kill people. Isn't it amazing that America was not built off of slaughtering people? America's Constitution, the Bill of Rights say life. First word, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When a nation has the blessing of God, they believe in the sanctity of life. That's why abortion is such a wicked thing. It's the slaughter of babies in what should be the safest place in all the world, a mother's womb. And it's chopping them up into pieces with scissors and then sucking them out with vacuums. That's what it is. And we believe in America. We stand on platforms. We believe in abortion. That's death. Euthanasia for the elderly or those that are sick. They said, I want to die. That's death. That my times are ordered by God. My days are determined by thee, the word of God says. When a nation begins to magnify death, whether it's a baby or whether it's the elderly or whether it's a sick, we're a sick nation. And tonight when a man of God speaks the word of God to us, as Paul did and Peter did, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and these great men of God, and the Moses and the great preachers of yesteryear in the word of God, the prophets, we ought to listen every time. But in case, what I see often, we debate in America. So we begin tonight, and I want to give you a homework assignment. We're going to be here for several months, but your homework assignment this week is to take these six chapters, and this is not the most found word in the book of Galatians, but I want you to look for the word gospel this week. The good news, you should be writing that down. Going tonight for like a Bible study. And you're going to look for the word gospel. And it's more than just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. When we get to the word law, you're going to find it over 30 times. But you're going to find this word gospel. The gospel is the good news. And that's what we're taking. We're not taking the law door to door. We're taking the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Would you read with me verses 1 through 5 tonight? And Paul is a, this letter is a letter of concern. It's a letter of compassion. It's a letter of conviction. It's a letter of correction. It's a letter of noticing and corruption that has invaded the church. It's a letter that deals with compromise in the church. And so it deals with all these subjects. But tonight we want to begin by looking how that Paul lays a foundation. And if you'll listen carefully to yourself read, it's very obvious he's giving some theology even early, because he's going to deal with this very strong in just a moment as we continue the weeks to follow. Let's read verses 1 through 5 together, saying together, pausing at the commas, periods, and semicolons. Ready? Begin. Paul, an apostle, verse 4 is a key verse. We'll look at it in a moment. But he is laying out, it has nothing to do with the law. Jesus Christ has nothing to do. He's the end of the law. He is not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. But verse number 4, who he lays this out. I'm going to talk to you folks about Jesus Christ. You notice he talks about verse 1, Jesus Christ, God, Father. You notice that he says grace, peace, God, Father, verse 3, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions the will of God and the Father's, speaking so much about Jesus. And he says, it's not law, it's who gave himself for our sins, that we might be delivered, rescued from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, not by the works of the law. Not lighting candles, not stepping in a booth and I'm on the other side and you confess your sins to me. That's not Bible. No man standing daily can take away sins. Just Jesus Christ alone. And he makes it very clear. He introduces to these people that have treated him now like an enemy. He said, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. And tonight, briefly, in these last few moments, I want you to see the goodness of Christ. The goodness of Christ. It comes first, the commission and call from Christ. You see the commission here? Paul, an apostle. Apostle was one who had seen God, seen Jesus. Paul, an apostle. Not by man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. God the Father who raised him up the dead. He said, I'll tell you what about the goodness of God. God commissioned me with a call to serve Christ. He's giving some authority, the foundation, right off the bat. This is not Baptist doctrine. This is not personal doctrine. This is not what I think. This has been commissioned to me by Christ. Not only does he talk about the commission and the call from Christ, notice what he talks about in verse 1, the resurrection of Christ. You see it there? Who raised him from the dead. Could you help me with our Bible study tonight? This side over here looks halfway intelligent. Your eyes are closed and your mouth is open, so you must be taking it in. Drool coming down the mouth. What religion, what God can you point to that lived again and rose from the dead? Conquered death. Who has a God that conquered death? He died, he was buried, they put him in a pyramid, they put him in a tomb, but he conquered death and up from the grave. You have a God? How about this side? You have a God that you can mention? How about Confucius over here? Did he raise from the dead? How about Buddha over here? Did he raise from the dead? How about Muhammad? Did he raise from the dead? How about Lenin, the Communist Party, whose body still lays there all these years later, still dead as last year's Christmas tree? Yeah. But we have a God who is Jesus Christ, who resurrected from the dead, and he conquered death. And if he could not conquer death, then there's no hope for us. The Bible says he had to conquer death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read that sometime with you. Look at this. We find the call of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Verse 3, the grace of Christ. Grace and peace from the Lord Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. I'm so thankful for grace tonight. God's, the acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I needed paid. I could not pay for my sin. But Jesus Christ, that's the grace of God. God could have judged all of us and condemned us to hell. But instead, he sent his son. God's sent his son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The call and commission from Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the grace of Christ. And the verse number 4 or 3 again says the peace of Christ. When we were saved, we were able through the cross to make peace with God. In the Bible, you have the peace with God and the peace of God. The peace with God comes as a result of salvation. The peace of God comes as a result of walking with God and knowing him. And great peace have they. Love thy law, the word of God, and nothing shall offend them. Tonight you're in turmoil. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And then not only do I see the commission of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the grace of Christ, And the peace of Christ. But you notice in verse 4, the sacrifice of Christ. You see it there? He gave himself for our sins. He wasn't drugged to the cross. He willingly gave himself. For this cause came I into the world. I came to die for you. And as he's on that cross, he died for my sin and for your sin. And the last word he said, it is, what's the word? That's a Greek word, tetelestai. That means completely, 100% paid in full. All my sin. You say, well, I can understand that. But what about my sins I've committed now? When Christ died for us, all your sins were future. All my sins were future. He paid for my salvation, my debt before salvation, as a result of salvation, and continues to pay. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, and it's perpetual of all my sin. Oh, I tell you what, it's an amazing thing when you think of what Christ did for us, the sacrifice. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He bore our sin on the cross. Easter's wonderful. I love it. It's one of my favorite seasons of the year, but it should be Easter every single Sunday. Resurrection, we celebrate church not on the Saturday, but on the first day of the week, because we celebrate the resurrection, the conquering death of Jesus Christ. He conquered death. Then I notice there's a deliverance in Christ, who gave us himself for our sins that he might deliver us. To deliver is literally, I love this word deliver. We saw it in the book of Colossians, to pluck you out. He plucked me out. My feet were on slippery slope, on sand, and he planted my feet upon a solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And tonight we see that he delivered us. in Christ. He rescued us. As a result of that, Paul says, okay, I have to just say this. To whom be glory forever. Amen. It's really what you were talking about, Brother Fanera, tonight. You can talk about sports and that gets old. You can talk about this, talk about that. But you can't talk enough about the goodness of God. And everything he gives you there, he doesn't start off by telling people off. He said, let me tell you some good things what Christ has done for you. After all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how could I do less than give him my best and live for him completely? After all he's done for me. When I was a boy, 1960 in summer camp, we sang, and you sang it with the little kids in chapel or the high school, I think little kids you taught it to. I'll live for Jesus day after day. I'll live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey and live for Jesus day after day. How would you not want to live for him? After all he's done, after all of this. Paul said, God's been so good to me. And Galatians, he's rescued you too. He's delivered you also. He resurrected for you also. Because he's going to begin to lay some things out that you are so wrong. The song, and we won't sing it tonight, but maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll sing it, is found on page 236. Free from the law, oh, happy condition. Jesus has saved, and now there's remission. I'm glad I don't have to dot the I, cross the T, to obtain salvation. Now, legalism is not that we, there are convictions that this church has. The word is purity and righteousness and sanctification and godliness and holiness. Oh, we believe in that, but we don't believe in that to get saved or to stay saved. We believe in that for a testimony to the name of Jesus Christ. I don't see, and I'm not trying to be rude. You can, preachers, you're watching, you can do what you want. I'm not responsible for you. But I don't, and I know, fellas, you might cut your lawn and cut off shorts, and I'm not, that's not mine. You have to figure that out. But I tell you what, I'm not sitting up here at the coffee shop with sandals on and shorts on and a tank top. I can't see Jesus going to a coffee shop like that. And I'm a representative of him. I certainly fall short of who Christ was, but I want to do my best to represent him as well. I'd rather get to heaven, God say to me, Jack, you were so, had so many convictions. You didn't have to have all that, son. But I want, by the grace of God, the blessings of God on your life. I believe so many of you have walked with God for a lifetime, that God's blessing, as his eyes go to and fro, 2 Corinthians 16:9, throughout this whole earth, to see where he can bless the people of God. I believe so many of you are experiencing, as young people, the blessings of God, because there's been some righteous people for nearly 50 years. Do you realize, and it's just all about things, do you realize we had to rent a gym for years, and now on two properties we have two gymnasiums? We have two beautiful dining halls. Do you realize that we have auditoriums on that property and auditoriums on this property? I remember when my wife went home to see her family, and Jim Carrey and I worked in the month of October, I think it was. And we knocked out walls in that original building. We had just bought it. And by Friday night, my wife was coming home, and we finished about 3 a.m. and we put 198 metal chairs in that auditorium. I thought, how in the world will we ever fill 198 chairs? And now that's not just one auditorium. We have many auditoriums on both properties. I believe a lot of it's because God saw a people here and he said, I can bless them. Do you know all of our buses and, I don't know, 30 routes almost, they're all paid for and they're going out to this area. And God has allowed this church to bring almost 1.6 million people to church. That's the blessings of God. It's the blessings of God to have for 48 years now a Christian school. It's a blessing of God for almost 30 years to have a Bible college, a publications, worldwide missionaries all over the globe tonight. It's the blessings of God to have live stream and radio 24 hours a day. And tonight I want to recognize that Paul's beginning his letter to this church. He said, I've got so much to thank God for. He's been so good.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.